Good morning. My name is Michelle McLeod, and I want to welcome you to our show, Mornings with Michelle, produced by Southwest Boulder and Stone, located in Fallbrook, the avocado capital of the world. It's about 11 o'clock on Friday, March 18th, 2016, and I do want to say we got some beautiful weather, so thank you for that. I want to start the show today with a little bit about how we approach the show and the stories that we're covering. And I say we because it's always a team effort here. Somebody has to make sure I'm not yelling in the microphone and that I say appropriate things on the podcast, and also that what we talk about has some meaning. Our perspective here is to educate and inform, E&I, short for educate and inform, not E&O, errors and omissions. But we talk about relevant issues in the industry from all different perspectives. If you're a landscaper or an irrigation company, you probably are feeling targeted right now by the water utilities and the press for promoting the use of copious amounts of water. From their perspective, they are the fall guys. That's not true, but that's, I think, the way it's kind of coming across. And then, of course, there's David Geffen, who may feel he's being targeted by the city of Beverly Hills, since the 10-acre estate that he owns in Beverly Hills used an average of about 27,000 gallons of water a day last summer between June and August. It's about 60 times what an average LA family uses. The positive, now wait for the positive, during the most recent billing cycle, which ended in January, the water use at the 10-acre estate dropped by 56% within the same period from 2013. Another positive, I assume some landscaper has been doing a lot of irrigation work at the estate, adding the new sensors probably and efficient heads, so good for them. Recently, is the Santa Fe Irrigation District persuaded its customers, including those in the Rancho Santa Fe area, to cut back their water use by almost 35% compared with 2013. So we're making some headway here. It seems like we're always talking about water. We're talking about drought situation. We're talking about harvesting rainwater. But again, the drought is a current situation. So we want to bring that up, talk about it, and be a platform for education and information here. From a totally different perspective, let's talk about levitated mass. You probably don't know what levitated mass is because it was a couple years ago, but it is the 340-ton boulder that Michael Heiser took to the LA County Art Museum, LACMA, and he transported it from Riverside County, 106 miles, I think, over the road to LACMA. It was, I think the top speed on the transporter was 7 miles an hour. So imagine those logistics. The project cost $10 million. So again, from your perspective, was that a waste or is it an art piece? Was it a rousing success or was it a total waste? You know, again, the answer to that is based on your perspective. The press was unbelievable. It was like watching a rocket launch or a car race. Again, a very slow car race at 7 miles an hour. I think it took 2 weeks. They did a film on it and it was very interesting, but it was when they interviewed the people along the road, some of them were just incredibly wild about it and loved it, and others thought he was absolutely crazy. So again, depends on your perspective. From mine, which is the rock world, I thought it was totally cool. But I think all rock is cool. We've been doing rock for 25 years, and I've got a lot of information that is probably unique just to me that I would love to pass on to whether it's a homeowner or a designer, or contractor, or architect. Not only that, I think we can act as a portal between the homeowner and a landscaper, a contractor, an architect, just so that they pass that information along. We, as owners of Southwest Boulder and Stone, we are avid supporters of every type of landscape installation. And the more that we know about it, that we can share with you, the better off we'll all be. The efficient ways of landscaping, irrigating, hardscaping, it just makes our job easier when you are educated and informed on all different aspects of it. Obviously, we promote the use of rock mulch or wood mulch over larger areas of turf. You know, that's sort of been a big deal, is getting rid of turf. But there is a place for small patches of turf. There's nothing like sitting on the grass in the afternoon, but it doesn't have to be 10,000 square feet. It can be a small area for the kids. And as a homeowner, you have different issues than a landscaper or than an architect. And all these things, these pertinent discussions are things we want to talk about here on the radio. They'll include landscaping, gardening, environmental issues, recycling issues, just for starters. And I get that everyone has differing opinions on this, and no opinion is right. An opinion is just that, an opinion. And, well, except mine is always right. But I understand that this is a podcast, so we're open to what anyone has to say. Okay, that's our platform for education and information. That's our byline. So this morning, on this platform for education and information, we're going to talk about gravel, what it is and how it's used. By definition, gravel, here's the definition. Gravel is a loose aggregation of small water-worn or pounded stones. True gravel is a product of a riverbed or water wash such that the hard edges are rounded or smooth. So years ago, the term pea gravel always meant a 3/8 inch rounded rock. They always used it for concrete. It was absolutely a round rock, hence the name pea. Remember the princess and the pea, the fairy tale? She was not sleeping on a piece of crushed 3/4 inch jagged rock. It was a pea. But over the years, the term has sort of segued into meaning any small rock that is a rounded, smooth river pebble or a mechanically crushed small rock. So regardless of the connotation of the term gravel, there's many, many ways to use it. So it's probably one of the most utilitarian rocks that we have in landscaping. I don't even know if I could come up with a way that you could not use gravel, crushed rock, rounded rock in the landscape. It can be used everywhere. Plain pathways. For eons, gravel has been used in pathways. They've been constructed of gravel. Today, probably there's no more cost-effective way to install a decorative stone pathway than with crushed rock. Like I said, it's utilitarian, user-friendly, but is also can be very impressive in a decorative sense. It sometimes when you look down a path, a crushed rock or a round stone path, it almost beckons you. It almost says, come on down the path. Another way to use gravel is to lay it between the steppers that you use for paths. You can either use flagstone or concrete steppers. And after you excavate the area where the steppers are going to go, and then you also have to contain the pathway with some sort of edge restraints, but you lay the steppers and then you put the stone, the gravel, all the way around the steppers, and the steppers almost seem like islands. You want them to be raised enough so that the gravel doesn't get on top of the steppers. It helps keep the gravel off the steppers and also keeps it contained in the pathway. There are a myriad of uses for gravel in the garden. It can be used in water features, in ponds, in dry stream beds, as exposed aggregate cover. It can be used in rock gardens as ground cover, in container gardens. It's also the mainstay or the foundation in a Japanese garden, in a gravel garden. The gravel allows the material to be raked in patterns in the Japanese gardens, and the patterns tell stories. It's very interesting. Size-wise on gravel, it's available in a 3/8 inch, 1/2 inch, 3/4 inch, up to 1 inch. And one last hint on gravel is the true gravel, the very small rounded rock, is going to be a little bit harder to walk on than the crushed rock version because it's a little bit like trying to walk on marbles. While the round shape of the true gravel is more pleasing, no question, I think it's more attractive, the round, it doesn't interlock like the crushed rock material. So it's not like walking in deep snow or in sand, but it's not going to give you the same feeling as you when you walk in a crushed rock pathway. Again, it's just a choice. It's an aesthetic choice, or it can be a functional choice. You know, it depends, again, on your perspective. Are you looking for beauty? Are you looking for functionality and pragmatism? That's always my problem. So if you are having to make some hard choices, let us know if you need some information. Is it that you don't know what vegetables to plant, or that you don't know how to contain your rainwater, or you don't know what kind of rock to use? Call us. Email us. contact@southwestboulder.com. Contact us with questions. If you have any questions that you would like us answered that would make your life easier. We're here as educators. and we would love to hear from you. In closing, let me go over a couple of different tours that are coming up. I told you about the Borrego Garden Tour is tomorrow in Borrego Springs, the Borrego Garden. On Saturday, April 2nd, the San Diego Hort Society has its annual garden tour. It's a self-guided tour of 9 gardens in Del Mar and Carmel Valley. And Sunday, April 3rd, the Desert Horticultural Society of Coachella Valley has their annual garden tour. Again, it's a self-guided walk through the Palm Springs Gardens. You can find us on Facebook. You can use Howes as a resource. Visit our website, southwestboulder.com. Next week, we're going to be discussing some of the issues contractors are dealing with. If you are a contractor and do have some things you'd like to talk about, please send me an email, contact@southwestboulder.com. We will see you next week. You have a great weekend and enjoy the good weather.